Dear Cheap Astronomy, how did the solar system's planets end up where they are? We are familiar with our stable solar system of 8 planets that have cleared their orbits, but before they did that, things were far less stable. In a protoplanetary disk, you have lots of gas and dust particles which will start accreting, where dust builds to rocks, rocks to mountains, and mountains to planetesimals. That accretion involves a lot of small collisions and gravitational perturbations which exert an overall braking effect, so that any accreting object will tend to follow a decaying orbit, spiralling in towards the Sun, which in stellar system evolution terminology is known as Type 1 migration. Now remember that protoplanetary disk is gas and dust, the gas being mostly hydrogen, some helium, and a bit of water and carbon dioxide. These gases are mostly too tenuous for small objects to exert a gravitational grip upon them, and being so tenuous, they are also readily pushed outwards by their youthful star's stellar wind. Far enough away from the star's heat, there's a frost line, where carbon dioxide and water will freeze solid. So, out past the frost line, ice starts accreting into rocks and mountains and planetesimals. These objects can't hang on to hydrogen either until they accrete into something with at least 5 Earth masses, but once they do that, there's an awful lot of hydrogen for them to hang on to, which is how you get gas giants. It's thought that within our solar system, Jupiter formed first and began migrating inwards towards the Sun as disk material added to its mass, but also slowed it down. But being so massive, Jupiter captured material very effectively and hence started clearing its orbit. From there it then transitioned to a Type 2 migration, which means that even though a planet may have cleared its orbit, it will still continue to be influenced by the evolving protoplanetary disk, where faster moving inner parts transfer their momentum to the slower moving outer parts, which spreads the disk out, but also decays the orbits of its inner parts, which at that time included Jupiter. Jupiter's slower-paced Type 2 migration could well have continued until all the disk material was consumed, allowing it to finally adopt a stable, cleared orbit quite close to the Sun, thereby making it a hot Jupiter. But then there was Saturn. From all the stellar systems we know about, it is a bit unusual to have a planet the size of Jupiter, and it's even more unusual to have a second planet the size of Saturn. It does seem as though our Sun's protoplanetary disk may have had quite a lot of extra gas and dust available for planet formation, which allowed us to end up with not just one, but 2 real whoppers. Anyhow, after Saturn formed, it's thought to have followed Jupiter's migration inwards, but at a faster rate, since it was smaller and still undergoing Type 1 migration, while the orbit-clearing Jupiter had shifted down gears to Type 2 migration. So, Saturn started catching up, until the two massive planets adopted an orbital resonance, probably a 2-3 resonance. That is, Jupiter was doing 3 solar orbits for every 2 of Saturn's. This generated gravitational pulses each time both planets passed close to each other. It's thought those pulses changed the shape of both planets' orbits and hence caused huge disruptions within the remaining protoplanetary disk, flinging lots of material outwards, perhaps to form the Kuiper belt, and also flinging lots of material inwards, perhaps to cause the late heavy bombardment, which left its mark on our heavily cratered moon. A large gap is also thought to have formed between the two giant planets, so suddenly Jupiter had nothing at its outer edge but lots of fast-moving disk material at its inner edge, which then shifted it into an outward migration. And being the more massive planet, it pushed Saturn back out as well. This movement cleared out yet more disk material and also pushed out Neptune, which had recently formed within the orbit of the also recently formed Uranus. All this happened within the first 500 million years or so from the solar system's birth, as did a good deal of chaotic activity in the inner solar system. And how do we know all this? Well, actually we don't. We just hypothesize it all from all the available evidence and some computer modeling. And to talk you through all that, yep, we're going to need a part 2.